And I check in with this lady, and the first thing she says, she's like, she looks my name up and she goes, "Oh, you're the one going to Chuja." And like gets up, gives me a hug. Yo, what is going on right now? Like, seriously, what's happening here? And I start asking questions. So apparently the guy I replaced went like crazy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like he like, I guess like he went, like when I say crazy, like he's kind of went off the deep end. He never recovered. Like he got kind of like ended up going to like, it was some like fucking Apocalypse Now shit. He ended up going to like Malaysia for a while and had a pet monkey and hanging out like in his apartment and shit. I swear, man, this is true, man. So I didn't realize that until I got there.
I'm Trey.
I'm Quest.
And we're your hosts. Each week, we'll seek out and interview the heroes that live amongst us.
And each week, we'll ask them to tell us the story of an adventure that challenged them, stuck with them, and forced them to grow.
This is our truest adventure. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for this episode of The Truest Adventure. My name is Trey.
My name's Jenna.
And I'm Quest.
And today we are going to do an episode where we have the one and only Harold Dale.
What's going on?
Well, before we go too deep into anything, I think we need to address something here. We're going to have to make a phone call because we don't have Markel here to question him. But we are genuinely concerned here. There's an episode where we are talking to a man named Anthony Butler, and he dropped some inside scoop on McDonald's, and then we were just humming along to the intro music. And when we're humming along to the intro music, we think it might sound like McDonald's theme song or like have some beats from McDonald's theme song. And so we need to check in with Markel real quick and make sure that we don't get sued, but he's not in studio. Can we get him on the phone?
Hold on. Look, I got Markel on the line. Markel, can you hear us?
Yes.
Markel, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so we got a question, man.
Did you or did you not steal any of our theme music from McDonald's? The ba-ba-ba-ba-da.
No, that had nothing. McDonald's had nothing.
Hey, real quick though, man, we got to check out, like, is there a possibility that if we get sued, you have good legal representation?
Do you have a lawyer? Because here's the thing. This is exactly what happened to Pharrell. They stole that shit, and he was like, no, I was just in the studio, and it just so happened I happened to be listening to that song on my iPod before I went in there, but I didn't steal it. So did you have McDonald's the day that you made the theme music?
I haven't had McDonald's in months.
Okay.
Made the theme music months ago.
Well, I made the theme music like 2 months ago, but I haven't had McDonald's, I'd say, like since I came back from Boston.
Okay, but just so you know, man, we're a little apprehensive here, and we had Anthony on the podcast, and he was talking to us about some stuff, and we're just really worried about McDonald's corporate coming down hard on us. Like,
yeah,
they will bury us under McDonald's.
I see why
someone
would like.
Oh, no.
Oh, shut up. Hang on the phone. Get off the podcast. It's all
good. Yo, you're the worst client ever. You're the worst client ever. I see why somebody might say I stole McDonald's shit. No, this was funny until we all got sued.
No, listen. I see why someone would have like an ear and hear that to compare it to, but McDonald's wouldn't be able to sue you because of that, because it's an entirely different song. Like, nothing, no part of that song was inspired by it. Like, unless you're not getting, you're not getting paid for the download. They can't sue you for it. Like, there's no hard evidence or anything they can put towards that unless they just were petty about it. Like, you can't sue that.
It's
too different. The master, the songs are way too different.
Let me ask you this, Markel. Did you see that VH1 Inside or Behind the Music with Vanilla Ice, where he was explaining that his beat was different than, I think it was like a doctor. Theirs went dun 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 dun. Ours went dun 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 dun.
I saw that, yeah.
What I love is that you've never seen Seinfeld or kind of have not seen Seinfeld, but when we ask you about Vanilla Ice, you're like, yeah, I saw that episode. I love that. Well, dude, we won't take up too much more of your time. We just want to say thanks. And obviously, you now made a little guest spot on this podcast, too. But we love the theme song. I love the theme song. I love McDonald's. Please don't sue us.
Yeah. Have it your way right away. Is that Burger King or McDonald's?
Oh, man. Don't be. We're definitely just stop digging the hole, man.
Pretty sure that's Burger King.
They got the Daddy Mac burger.
Daddy.
No, I stole that from Dave from the Revivalist.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He says they should call it the Daddy Mac.
They missed it.
McDonald's is going to be all in our shit. We got to stop making jokes. We got to stop talking about
McDonald's. They're feeling themselves, too. They got the new movie that just came out.
Oh,
yeah.
And that's like in that movie. They show how cutthroat it is.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
The dude that claims to be the founder of McDonald's is not last name McDonald's.
All right, Markel, we're going to let you go. We're going to jump back in this, man.
All right, man.
Later, brother. Okay. Sorry, we had to address that because we were getting ready to do the drop into the episode and we have the theme music plugged in and it just made me go ba 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 and like, oh, there's some similarities here. We might need to address this. And I don't know that Markel helped us out. We probably should not have gotten that clarification.
I could see how somebody would. That's not at all what you're supposed to say, I don't think. I think you're just supposed to be like, now, I don't think you have a good ear. You're not trained for this. You're not hearing the right things. Exactly. The notes aren't the same at all.
I never ate McDonald's before in my life.
Exactly. McWho is the right response. Exactly. So if this episode makes it to air even, you guys should be amazed.
Yeah. All right. But we've got an awesome guest in studio today, my man Harold.
Hey, what's going on?
Harold, give us the benefit of some of your like background. Where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from here and there. My dad was in the military, but I was born in South Korea. My mom's Korean. So, annyeonghaseyo.
Translation, what's up, my people?
Yeah, more or less. Actually, that would just be like annyeong. Annyeong, that's all you would say.
Annyeong.
That's like the version of what's up, but.
Annyeong.
Fair enough.
Another episode. But I moved down here from Ohio. I claim Ohio, that's where I spent my formative years anyway. So high school, college, stuff like that. So,
okay. Yeah.
What college you go to?
Ohio Wesleyan University. Okay. Small little like, liberal arts school.
Why'd you go there?
Because I didn't have to pay for it.
Okay. Is that because your dad was in the military?
No. I played sports. And
you're
I read
a sportser.
Books. Yeah, I'm a sportser. Sportsing. I like to sports.
Got it.
Like to sports, or I'm just like the sports thing.
What sportsing did you do there?
The sportsing that I did at Ohio Wesleyan was I was a football player. Right. American football player. American.
And, I mean, I would be lying if I said that I didn't already know that you were a football player and an athlete. And so would Quest here, because we obviously know you through running.
Yes. We all know each other through those ways, for sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say, so you were telling us you moved down here from Ohio. How long have you been in New Orleans?
When I moved down here, and it was, I want to say maybe a couple months or maybe not even 6 months after Katrina. So Katrina was 2005. So 2006, I moved back here, back and forth between here and Ohio. I used to coach football up there at a university, same university I graduated from. So, I would recruit this area, fly up there for the season, do the season and the off season, come down here. In that time I bought a house. So I was working on my house and recruiting the whole area as well as flying back up. So I made the permanent move in 2008-ish, I want to say, maybe something like that. So yeah.
Okay.
So in your background of recruiting this area, would you say that this area produces the greatest football players in the country?
Pretty good percentage of really good football players. I'm not going to say the best.
And no?
All right.
All right.
Sorry to take away from your fans on that one. But
where are the best then?
Where are the best? Like top to bottom? Probably Florida.
Okay. Mm.
Like the whole state. Like, I mean, like just the whole state. Like we're breaking down statewide. I'm not just going to go straight area. Like it's too hard.
I was just looking for a little SEC shout out, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're great. Well, that's Florida's definitely SEC country. In Florida, Louisiana, like Texas, like
those states. All right. Just wanted to give credit where credit is due.
Oh, yeah. That's all.
All right.
I ain't knocking the SEC, man. I'm all about it.
respect.
Yeah.
And then Harold, like, we've talked about like Ohio and then down here in New Orleans, but like you've lived other places too. Like
yes.
You lived in Korea for a while. Yep. Like tell us about some of the places you've lived.
Growing up, we bounced around a lot. We spent a lot of time in Fort Benning, Georgia. My dad was the head of the 82nd Airborne Instructors and the head of the Ranger School for years. So a lot of time in Georgia, Chicago. I spent a lot of time with my family in Chicago where my mom and my dad would get stationed overseas. Sometimes we just stay in Chicago. I just got back from living. I was over in Korea for 5 years. Living over there, teaching abroad. But I've also lived and traveled in other countries. Did about a 6-7 month stint in South Central America. Been to Europe a couple times. Lived in London for about 3.5 months, taking some classes over there. Just bounced around a lot.
Yeah.
When you were over in Korea, were you Seoul? Where were you at?
I was based off of, really, my first year, I actually lived on this super, super remote island halfway between the Korean mainland, and they have an island called Jeju. I was halfway in between both of them, and the name of the island is called Jeju-do. And the population was 1,500 people. I was the only English-speaking foreigner on, like, between the two islands. It took you to circumnavigate the island on foot. It took you 3 hours in a car. It took you 10 minutes. So that was both islands. Wow. So you could circumnavigate. Yeah, yeah. So, like, it just wasn't big at all. So I spent my first year there.
How's that?
It was awesome, man. Like, it was cool. Like, at first, so the guy that I replaced, it was really funny. So I got the job by accident. Like, I didn't even, like, so the area I lived in Korea was called Jeju-do. Jeju Island. This was a part of the Jeju Province. So I got the job by accident. I actually applied for it online just because I was like, oh, it's an island. Why wouldn't I want to live on an island? It's pretty. It's I'll check it out. But yeah. I was actually trying to get to Daegu, is a city in the mainland, because I had talked to a football coach there, American football coach, and I was going to coach football in Korea while I was teaching English.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, applied for this job down there. There are like a list of 5 positions on Jeju Island. Chuja happened to be one of them. But the description said it was like, oh, small island, 30 minutes away from Jeju. You can take a boat every day. You can go, like, I was like, hey, why not? Just check it out. Applied for it. And this is what I should have known, that, like, probably wasn't the best job. Like, literally the next day, the afternoon, I got a phone call from the guy. And he was like, are you serious about that job? And I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah.
And what year is this, though?
This is 2010. When they say 2010, yeah. So 2010.
So this is still, like, in the world of the internet where, like, that's not super, super common to be dropping in on the internet and applying to jobs like in foreign islands, right?
No, well, I it's not common. I was using a website that it's common for.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like this job is just, it's a very, so this is like, I'll let me finish explaining and I'll tell more about it. But then anyway, right. So like I apply and the guy goes like, you want it? Like, do you got your paperwork ready? All that stuff. I'm like, yeah, I got it all ready. And he's like, all right, send it to me, fax it to me. Man, and this should have been the other telling sign. The next day, he called me and was like, the job's yours.
48 hours.
Yeah, 48 process. Hours. I was like, I had this job. And I was like, whoa. I was like, okay. I was like, yeah, sure. Sounds great. I'll go to Korea then. I was like, let's do it. And I was like, boom. So that's it. I didn't research it until after.
Am I missing the part in your story where you got interviewed for the job?
There was no interview, man. I'm telling you, man.
That, like, sent some forms. No, and no, then that, you sent some more forms.
Literally, that's all it was.
And
like,
that was it.
So, like, yeah. And anyway, it wasn't clicking in my head.
And what is the job?
I was a teacher. Like, I taught English. So, like, I taught English at 2 elementary
that's
schools.
That's reassuring.
Yeah.
There's, like, nobody between 2 islands to check you on whether you're teaching the shit, right?
I didn't take any of this as telling signs until afterwards. So, like, I fly to Korea early. I got family over there. So I flew in like about 2 weeks early and stayed with them. And then I would go to orientation, and like the first day of orientation, I'm the first person there because I have been in this country for like 2 weeks. So yeah. I show up a little early and I check in with this lady. And the first thing she says, she's like, she looks my name up and she goes, oh, you're the one going to Chuja. And like gets up, gives me a hug. And I'm like, what is going on? And so for the rest of the next week and a half, like, everybody's like, oh, you're going to Chuja? And I'm like, yo, what is going on right now? Like, seriously, what's happening here? And then I start asking questions.
That's where Godzilla hangs out. That's where Godzilla winters.
So you're apparently, the sacrifice.
Yeah, apparently the guy I replaced went, like, crazy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like, he, like, I guess, like, he went, like, when I say
you're
crazy.
You're taking Jack Nicholson's
spot? Yeah, I was going to say that. Job's not, like, shiny?
Yeah, kind of, yeah, like, because he was isolated. Like, they said, like, he's kind of went off the deep end. He never recovered. Like, he kind of like ended up going to, like, it was just like fucking Apocalypse Now shit. He ended up going to like Malaysia for a while and had a pet monkey and hanging out like in his apartment and shit. I swear, this is true, man. So I didn't realize that until I got there. And it wasn't that bad, man. The first 3 weeks, I was slowly killing myself. You know? Like, I was smoking like 2 packs of cigarettes a day, like drinking as much alcohol as I could just to go to bed. Cause I was like, I don't even know what to do. They had 2 channels on the TV that are English speaking. And one was just, I couldn't watch it. And the other one was nothing but CSI. And I was like, just gouge my eyes out. My internet was through the school because it's like, we lived in a compound. So I couldn't get on any websites. They were all blocked. I was just, it was brutal, man. It was brutal. So like the first 2 weeks I was like literally killing myself and I was, I can't do this anymore. So I just Got a little active instead, started exploring.
So. Little Heart of Darkness, huh?
Yeah. I like it. But I was there 1 year. 1 year, and then the next 4 years, I was on the Big Island, Jeju, and that place was love. That place was magical. So
Yeah. That's so amazing.
Are you still a smoker?
No. I haven't smoked a cigarette in a long, long time. All right. Like, that was just dark times.
It's like, I can't do anything else with my life. Maybe I'll try this shit out.
I'm telling you, man, there was not much to do. Like, oh, and I wasn't, that's a lie, obviously. I just wasn't willing to. I had just bought into the crazy stories of the guy before me.
Right.
And
right.
So I was like, I guess that's what I'm supposed to do here.
Oh, man. So obviously, we want to talk to you a little bit more about your truest adventure in running. But before I ask that question, I mean, would you describe your mom? I'm getting the impression that your father was an athlete as well, because obviously if you're the head of the 82nd Airborne and you're like leading a bunch of like elite soldiers, that you're probably in really good shape and all of those things. So you probably take some of that from your father's side. What about on your mom's side? Is she an athlete?
God, no. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? No.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
No, man. I don't want to. I don't care. I'll say that. I'm half Korean. I can say this. I just don't think Korean people are all that athletic.
Not all of them.
But like,
what about you got BTG love? Eight soul, bro.
You don't got to be athletic to run. That's true. That's a fact.
That's true.
That's a fact.
That's true.
Running is just a faster version of walking.
Anybody
can do that. You don't have to be athletic to do that. Like, they got Taekwondo, but that's theirs, man. You can't be considered athletic if you created it, right? Like, that's yours, right?
Don't get credit for creating
They don't even win the gold anymore. That's what I'm saying. So, like, how you going to create something and not be the most gangster at it anymore? What's that about?
We didn't win all the gold medals in basketball, man.
We did, though, last year, and we have been for a while.
Yeah, but
I mean, we took a break. We took a break from eight years ago.
We had Jordan, and from the time we had Jordan to now, we have not always won the gold.
Yeah, one time in the Olympics. So you're trying to tell me we still have the best athletes on the hoop court?
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Anyway, so like, you support my argument.
I'm just saying, like, sometimes you don't always win gold, bro.
People are not athletic. I'm just saying, on a whole, you're not going to be walking into Korea being like, whoa, look at these superstar freak athletes. You're not. I'm sorry.
I would just figure me, the white guy would be the one maybe not standing up for Koreans.
Bro, I'm Korean. I'm more Korean than I am black. So like, I can clown my people all day. Oh, man, I love them. Don't get me wrong. We can make some good food.
Korea, I got love. I'm over here fighting a good fight for you, Korea. Don't forget who's over here fighting a good fight.
Korea, I got nothing but chum.
Jenna, did you say all your cousins are Korean?
Yeah, I've never met them.
What Korean cousins do you have?
Hi, Jenna. Welcome to the podcast.
That's a story for another time.
I think it's more poignant than now. Jenna, you have 3 minutes.
To explain why my cousins are Korean?
Yes.
Okay, so my mom has two brothers, right? One of them is gay, so no kids. The other one ran away from home when he was 18. No one knew where he was. No one heard from him for a really long time. And then about 5 years ago, my grandfather died, and he popped back up out of nowhere, and everyone's like,
he's Korean.
Mike, what are you doing? No, he's white.
Oh. Okay. I thought like that's a mystical story. He goes to this island where Harold was stuck, comes back all of a sudden he's Korean.
Okay, so
with his pet monkey.
Exactly.
Mike comes back.
Turns out the guy Harold replaced was Jenna's cousin.
Mike's been in Korea for like 30 years and all of his children are Korean, and he's been living in Chicago for the last 5 years, and those are my only cousins.
Did he buy those Korean children or did he make them?
He made those. Do you hang out
with your Korean cousins?
I've never met them.
Do they live in Korea?
Does he live in Korea now?
No, he lives in Chicago for the last 5 years.
Oh.
So, you know, all right. Like that, Jenna.
Damn,
you did a great job on that.
That was
like,
awesome.
You actually explained that story in a minute and 45 seconds.
It's a pretty short story.
Yeah, you were like, that's a story for a different time. It was actually this.
Mike laughed, he came back.
And who knew we'd go deep on Korea in this episode?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Never a bad idea.
So we got a lot of South Korean blood in here.
This isn't the season about your truest adventure in traveling. This is the truest adventure in running. So with that, I guess the question is, Harold, what's your truest adventure in running, man?
Man, I don't know if I have, I'm just getting into the whole, long runs and for like paying money for them as well. I've run plenty of times. I've run long, but like never have I really thought about, you know, paying for the medal and the bib and all stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that I'm into it now. But most of them, I would say most of my truest adventures in running would, they're more shorter versions of runs, but they're always something to do with in terms of, well, Korea is a good example. So like when I lived on that small island, like I said, I was slowly killing myself. Like,
yeah.
And so what I decided to do was, is I was like, instead of sitting in my room all day after I get out of work, I would, let me explore the island a little bit. Let me go ahead and start exploring the island. But like I said, it's such a small island that.
So you started doing 3-hour loops?
Well, what I started doing is I started trail running. Cause like the island is like very, it's rocky, it's hilly, and there's all kinds of places you can get like great views of it and everything and whatnot.
Oh.
But I didn't know that until I started walking the island first. So I would wake up every day, go to work. And like, so just to give you guys an idea of how it's set up, like the school, like this island is like tiny. There's two islands. There's one called Sanchuja and there's called Hachuja. Hachuja means lower and Sanchuja means upper. So the San one was the higher island and Hachuja was the lower one. I lived on Hachuja. On Hachuja, there was a middle school, an elementary school, and that's it, bruh. Wow. Like that's all you had really on that island. So if you wanted to get any grocery shopping done, you had to go to Sanchuja. You had to go over there. And there was a bus that looped the island, which took like 15 minutes, like to loop and stop at every spot. So that's where you had to get your grocery shop. And that's where the grocery, like the restaurants were all in Sanchuja. So I lived nowhere near them, which at first I was upset about, but it ended up being like a blessing. Like where I lived was great. Now, all the teachers that worked at this school, including myself, they weren't from this island. I mean, there's only 1500 people on the island. So like,
right. You have to import people.
Exactly. So they imported all these teachers from Jeju as well. So these teachers actually had their families and stuff. They like would leave for like a week at a time, sometimes longer than that, and come live on this little island. And we had like a compound. So I would literally roll out of bed like 10 minutes before my first class to teach and could walk out of my apartment building. And I was in the school.
Wow.
It was like that. It was like there was no separation. It was like that's how it was. Like I'd walk out of there and like, so like on lunch break, if I didn't want to eat lunch, I would go to my apartment and like take a nap.
Yeah.
Because I could in my bed because I had enough time to do that. So when I was done teaching, technically in Korea, you're supposed to sit at your desk and you're supposed to desk warm and hang out and do stuff. Like there's nothing for me to do. So I would leave. And that's usually when I would start smoking and the drinking process, and they would be like, sometimes that'd be like around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, man. Like, and I would go until about like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, midnight. And I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna pass out, wake up, and like go do the same routine. It's like for the first, I want to say probably 2 months, like and a half. I like this is what I was doing every day.
Yeah. I gotta ask, every day, you're drinking and smoking like that. You putting on any weight?
Probably was not, I should have probably been losing weight because.
Right. Oh, it's true.
But the diet there is better. Like, it's healthier. So the food was better for me. But, like, I mean, I probably was just staying maintained. Mm-hmm. Like, definitely was getting, like, deteriorating body-wise. I was killing myself. I was killing myself.
Yeah.
So anyway.
You're
so
losing
I, like,
some of the athletic right,
right. Exactly. Yeah.
Had.
And before then, I had been, like, I had been running every day still. So, like, it was just one of those things. Like, cigarettes cost, like, $1.50 over there for a pack. Yeah. So I was just like, oh, what else is there to do? But anyway. So I got to stop doing that.
It's like either kill yourself with the cigarettes or the CSI.
Right. Yeah, so. Exactly. They're busted. Either way, it's the worst death possible.
Shout out to CSI.
I could either look at this in a proactive way or just be like completely killing myself and go crazy. And so I just started walking, man. I started walking the island and obviously, the first thing I did is you walk the main road, and that's how I figured out it took about 3 hours to circumnavigate.
So you started making that loop.
Yeah, so I started walking it, and then I started hearing stories about being like, oh, there's trails. Like you can walk up and through the hills, and there's trails. There's all kinds of trails, and you can check them out. It's actually called part of a trail called the Olay Trail, which is another story, another time. But anyway, so I started walking these trails, and then after a while, I was like, man, I know all these trails. I was like, I'm gonna start running, man. I'm gonna start running these trails. So like trail running actually became really, really big on me there. Like, so my big thing I used to do was I used to like grocery shop. Like I used to like put my backpack on me and I would just go and I would run from Hachuja and go over. Dongdaemun is considered like the highest point. So we go over Dongdaemun over the top. And then like, I'd come down and like the view, I'll show it to you guys on my phone. I have some of it. Like the view you see of like just the islands, and it was beautiful.
Man, can you share a photo of that with us?
Yeah, we'll put it on the Facebook.
Podcast. Yeah, definitely. I'll show it to you guys. And so I would get this view at the very, very top, to the highest point of both islands. This is the highest point. And then I would come down, I'd run down, and I would just run all the way through and go to the shopping at the market. And sometimes I would either walk back or I'd run back, depending on what I had, or sometimes I'd take the bus back.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like one of that's pretty good. Like, I used to do that. But most, like I said, most of my runs and craziness that happens with the runs are like usually short runs or nothing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't even necessarily think it's the distance of the run, right? Oh. Like, I think that answer was beautiful, man. Like,
yeah,
that
it was lovely.
Like, an actual adventure of running, and it's the idea that you, I mean, geez.
It was cool, man. It was weird. So I still get phone calls now from the people like that hired me. To talk to the people they want to hire, like for that position,
like how not to go insane.
Yeah, like yeah, because I actually I got Teacher of the Year out there, like yeah. They, like because they come out, they evaluate all the teachers, and like so they came out there, and afterwards they were like, these kids couldn't even speak English before you got here, and yeah. It was like now you're like they're not only like speaking English, like they're like billions. I got some awards out there, but it was just bomb, man.
Okay, so I got to ask, like when you're teaching kids how to speak English, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just like go home? Turn on channel 3. Watch CSI. There'll be a quiz on it tomorrow.
You know it. I will say though, every kid when I was there, they all knew Frozen, like word by word, which in turn now makes me hate that movie.
I'm also starting to think that Disney is putting some subliminal shit in Frozen. I just had a conversation with a work colleague yesterday about how his daughter has had him watch Frozen 8 times. My goddaughter, who's like 5, same thing. What is going on with Frozen?
It was working with middle school children. Like, I was like thinking, like, I was over in Korea and I'd be like asking kids, like, all right, so we got like a free week coming up. What movie y'all want? They were like, Frozen. I was like, how old are y'all? Like, y'all want to watch Frozen? Like, I could get any movie we want over here. Any subtitle. You want Frozen? You want
over and over again.
You
want
to build a snowman? Oh, man. I could do it no more. It was driving me insane, man.
Okay, so truest confession.
You know, you never seen it?
I've never seen Frozen. Don't watch it,
man. Oh, I don't feel like that's the confession. No. The confession should be that we've both fucking seen it.
Yeah.
As many times as we've seen
it. Like, very well. And know it very well.
Yeah, that's not the shit to be bashful about. I wish I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, exactly. I tell people all the time, I'm like, man, if I could unsee that.
You can't unsee that shit. Poor Elsa.
Did you say you've seen it?
Yeah.
Poor Elsa.
Yeah, my roommates made me.
Your roommates? So even in college?
Yeah.
They tied you down? You can't go anywhere.
Pretty much.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Olaf hooks you with the comedy relief.
Yeah.
Elsa's going through this amazingly dramatic thing in her life.
You gotta stop. You have to stop right now, man. You have to. You're like over. Stop.
I'm telling you.
He's killing it on the explanation.
He's telling how it went down. It's like the fucking Giving Tree. There's so many parables and parallels in there. You know what I mean? Like, she has trouble emoting because she can't touch people. They can't feel her pain physically or metaphorically.
Preach.
What kind of trip is that, Disney?
Preach.
Fuck.
Preach.
Do you want to build a snowman? She does some running through the house.
I just feel like running.
The whole palace is made off of running. That's right.
That's true.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Hey, yo. I'm just saying, like, running helps.
Yeah,
running
sure.
helps. All right. So then where can people, like, find you, get to, like, come interact with you? Like, what do you want people to interact with you?
Call me on my number, 555-1234.
Well, man, I'm serious. Like, you just think about it. It's like, are you, like...
Yeah,
you're kind of public because you're doing this.
I mean, yeah, of course I'm public. I'm public because I have nothing to be private about. So, of course I'm public.
But, like, is there anything that you want to tell people that are listening?
Yeah, you can,
like, come in and.
Is it called the gram? Is that what people call it for the short?
Do it for the gram.
I'm new to this. You can hit me up at that, Blackorean Man. So it's Black, BLACK, and then OREAN-Man, right?
Okay. Underscore. Are you underscore or dash?
I think I don't know. I think it's underscore.
Underscore. If it's down low, it's the underscore.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Jenna. I started to look that up on Instagram and Insta. Yeah.
As well as
Jenna shot me this death stare.
My job.
Jenna's like, Errol Dale on Facebook. Don't be cutting out of work.
Yeah.
My bad.
But yeah, man, I'd love to see you on Fridays. We run at 7.
What's up on Fridays?
At Fridays, I'm sure that Mark West and Trey have mentioned it. I don't know if they have, but maybe if they haven't. I'm part of a run crew. I'm a co-captain of a run crew with these gentlemen as well as two lovely ladies. And so we're out there trying to get people to come out on Fridays and, like, you know, get out and see the city, run a little bit more. Even if you've never ran before, let's get you out there. Let's try it out, you know. And
absolutely, bring your bag.
We can do some grocery shopping too, right? Yeah. Like, exactly. Run, by a grocery run down to Second Island, bro.
Tell them what that joint's called, though.
The joint is called the 504th, and we're gangster with it. So we wear black. We run on Fridays.
Make them wear black.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So, and it's actually, it's been amazing, man. We actually just had a massive weekend that just passed last weekend with the rock and roll marathon that was in town. We had a bunch of guys come in from New York who were the original bridge runners that started the BTG movement. And it was unreal. It was unreal. I had a killer weekend with them and just such a great people. And you guys just talked about earlier, you interviewed a couple of the gentlemen that you already had. So
yeah.
So, and they were just amazing. They were amazing. It was an unbelievable time.
That weekend kind of helped inspire this season. Right?
Yeah.
The first adventure in running. So Jenna.
Cool. In summary, if you want to find Harold, it's BLECKOREIN _man.
Yeah, there you go. That's me.
You can talk to us at The Truest Adventure or on Facebook. Same thing. Or Twitter at Truest Adventure.
Excellent. Well, guys, I appreciate all of your time. And by guys, I mean guys and gals listening. This is just really starting to be super fun. We haven't made any decisions on merch yet, but we definitely want to get some merch, I think.
We got to get some merch.
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 Just to be able to say merch more. That's my favorite thing about going to live shows.
That's a button.
The merch. Merch.
Yeah, it is a button. So and at some point, we're going to have to figure out the button machine and actually start using it again.
We do, because...
But I mean, it's like low priority.
It works, but the problem is it's not loud enough. And then we end up having to hit it super hard, which then makes us hit the table super hard. And
there's one rule here.
Don't touch the table.
Don't touch the damn table.
Because it's like we talked about, it's a cheap table. And matter of fact, I put the GoPro using the clamp on the edge of the table and it dented this table. It's not even made of plastic. It's like a vinyl. Like,
oh, it did. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like this. Yeah. So we definitely might want to think about a new table before merch.
Table, but so here's
table and merch same time.
Can we throw this out there? Not like we're doing this for the fun of it, for the adventure that's in it, and it's been great. We got people like Harold to come in, like Denali, like Nacho, like Anthony, and it's just been phenomenal. So we're not doing it for the money. We're not doing it to have sponsors, but if we could get a sponsor just to get a good table, that'd be great. So if you're out there and you own a furniture store,
Door Furniture here in New Orleans, if you're listening, we love you.
We'll do an amazing.
IKEA, you guys have to have all kinds of tables. Here? No, but there's one over in Houston, and maybe
send us a table, IKEA.
IKEA, we would love a table, like please, honestly.
And some of those meatballs.
I did a commercial for IKEA.
You did a commercial
like
for
a video, a YouTube video for like Luke.
What?
Yeah. It's called like furniture porn.
Wait, your friend Luke or the Luke table or the
you have a buddy named Luke. Luke.
Oh,
Luke.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, that's a good point because they probably do have a table called Luke.
Yeah, like with the two dots above the U.
Yeah.
So Luke. That's good to know to differentiate between the two. But yeah, IKEA, like we're interviewing your people. They're shouting you out right now.
Yeah.
We need a table. A table sponsor.
We need a table sponsor.
Or like a sponsor that wants to just throw us a couple of bucks and we'll go out and buy a table. So that we can stop talking about the damn table and how you can't touch it, making people uncomfortable. Like Harold's got his hands up right now.
Nobody wants to touch the fucking table.
No one wants to touch the table.
It's ridiculous. I'll tell you what, let's double down on that.
And we can't have Markel here because every time
Markel's here, mannerism is to tap the table for emphasis.
Yes.
Yeah. But let's double down on that. Even if we can't get a like company to sponsor that makes tables already. If you're an individual and you want to sponsor our table, we'll go out with you, buy this table, and we'll make a fucking episode out of it.
Yeah.
Let's make this happen, people.
We can make a table GoFundMe.
A table?
Table GoFundMe.
I don't know if we want to, I feel like GoFundMe is not a sponsor, right? Like I think that somebody that wants to like, you want to
maybe someone will accidentally donate to our table.
This is the only GoFundMe page. We're looking for one donor that wants to buy one table. And we are going to make an episode around the table purchase and the person that purchases the table, i.e. the sponsor.
The sponsor.
I don't think I used i.e. correctly there.
What does i.e. stand for? Does anybody know?
An example.
Fuck, English teacher. An example. The table sponsor.
The table sponsor. Yeah. That's what we're looking for right now is a table sponsor. And also, I mean, I don't want to cut things short. If we could get a sponsor.
No, that would be great.
It would be huge.
That'd be great. But, you know, they say shoot for the moon. Right now, we're just shooting for the feet, like the ground below our feet.
I mean, here's the thing, right? Is we've been talking about McDonald's a whole lot. We're very apologetic. We're super apologetic. And if you'd like, we have theme music that kind of makes people think about yours. McDonald's. And then at the end, we just run ba-da-da-da-da.
Can we? So anybody who's got to connect to McDonald's, IKEA, Vuk, the person, Luke,
CSI.
We've got multiple furniture. Options to make this happen.
I mean, yeah.
And Nola Aikido.
What is it? Isn't Nola there like Aikido. A Hornets Mints, right? Isn't that a local furniture store as well? Like, Mints. I'm just going to start saying some of these names out there. And just if anyone just like is listening to it and knows somebody, we'd love them. Love them to spawn. Like, come on now. We need
we'd
a
love
table.
To get a table.
We'd like to have Markel back in the studio, but you know, if we bring him back, we're probably going to have to cut off his damn fingers.
Yep.
If we don't get a new table.
And then we get sued because
sponsor
that's
us.
Maker.
Yeah. Oh man. We keep running right up and against like prime lawsuit.
We're gonna get
territory.
Fucking sued.
It's I definitely know. Gonna happen with this thing.
1,000%.
So yeah,
good press though. Good press.
Any news is good news.
Exactly.
That's how you get a sponsor. You get sued.
You get sued. Right?
You know, Anthony told us that story about the woman that spilled the coffee on her, and Markel will be able to go on some other person's podcast and talk about how he lost his damn fingers on a podcast.
And then be like, I got to hear this stuff.
Yep.
And then Jenna will call us while we're in jail, or we'll call Jenna for our once a day call and be like, hey, Jenna, how's the podcast doing? Yo, you guys got like two more downloads.
Two more.
Trey, we got two more downloads. Oh, the soap thing again. I got to go, Jenna. Bubba's fighting Trey for the soap again.
Man, I don't know if it'd be that much of a fight. You know how they say some people are built for prison? If you don't know what I look like, check us out on the gram. You can tell I'm not looking like someone that's built for prison. Guys, we need a sponsor. We need to stay the hell out of prison. We need to wrap this episode up. We will try to find some merch at some point. But if guys, please go check us out on iTunes. You can check us out on Stitcher. You can find us on the gram. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. Hit us up. Please download these episodes. Tell some friends to download the episodes. Subscribe yourself.
Subscribe
helps. Even more so, write a review.
Write a
please.
Review.
I wrote my first review today.
Of us?
Of us.
Did you say good stuff?
I said 3 stars, man.
Out of how fucking many stars?
5, bro.
You gave our own shit 3 stars out of 5?
I did.
What? Which episode?
To make it look more real?
No, because I wanted to make sure that people know that we've got room to grow.
Fuck and that. I'm giving back. Us 5 stars.
Well, you better write a review, bro. Why keep telling everyone write a review, and I'm the only person that's written a damn review. We need some people to write reviews, so I wrote a review letting people know, like, if they come here, they can see that I wrote a review.
Yeah.
That I'm going to actually check this. And then I'm also honest. Like, I understand we got room to grow. We started the first podcast. We're an hour long on the first podcast.
So I think this is amazing. Let's close this out from the 4-star rated podcast, because I will go into a review after this at 5 stars and our average will be 4.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you for listening to a 4-star podcast called The Truest Adventure. My name is Trey.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Quest. Thank you for listening to The Truest Adventure.